You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Zach Bryan, it's his birthday today. So we're going to sprinkle in some Zach Bryan in here and there. We also played some Marvin Gaye earlier. It's also his birthday.
This is reminding me of somebody, and I can't put my finger on it. It'll come to me.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. One last little bonus, Ask M, before we talk about something I heard last night. Rader Rubin, would you prefer a job that you hate with a high salary or a job that you love with a low one?
So I've been incredibly lucky to have jobs that I've loved. So I've loved every job that I've had in my post-college career.
Which
so
have you on pace to retire by 30.
Of course. Yeah. Yes. I'm raking in the dough. So I think I like my life. I like my career. So I think that I'd probably do a job that I enjoy, maybe on a low salary. But, you know, why can't Porcanolos dos? Why don't we have both?
Yeah. No, that's ideal, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I think I'd do...
What is a task that you find incredibly tedious and just, ugh, I'd rather not, but you just kind of got to get through it every day?
Customer service.
Okay. For whatever reason, there's a customer service job that pays you $500,000 a year. You take it, but you got to stay for a while. You can't just take it for a year or two and you're going to put $1 million in the bank. You're going to work in customer service for a long time. You every day it's like, ugh.
But I live
But the
here.
Check is nice.
Yeah. I could do 2 years.
Yeah.
I could do 2 years of that.
That's the thing. The other part of it is it's not just I don't like the job. If it's not challenging or you're not learning something or
boring.
It's not, yeah.
Boring.
That's the part, too, that...
It's 8 hours of your day, at least.
That's
a lot of your life.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had a job you're like, I hate this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I think we all have.
Okay, I think so, too, mm-hmm. right? It's not just the day from the moment you walk in to the moment you walk out. It's in your thoughts nonstop.
Of course.
You can never shut it off. And even if the money's now, there is a point of I'll do that. we've all got that point.
We have a price.
Everybody has that.
Mine's a little lower than I think anybody realizes. So go ahead and give me a call. So I'm walking home. I'm taking my walk yesterday. I went to my son Michael had a baseball game, and I'm walking home from the high school back to my house, and I'm listening to the Dodger game on my phone. And, you know, usually if you're listening to a baseball game on the radio, it's the guy that's doing the play-by-play that's kind of painting the picture for you.
Sure.
It's a drive in the left center field. You know, he's going back. He's to the track. He's to the wall. It's gone. That's what Scully was so amazing at, is just painting that picture for you. Yesterday, I just heard this. You're like, I wonder how far it went.
Ohtani with an absolute rocket. First game in Nats Park, first home run in Nats Park, 4-1 Dodgers.
So I want to play, just listen to the very first part of this. Okay, it's that sound of just the crack of the bat that's not just, okay, that's a ground ball to the shortstop. I'm listening to it, and that's Steven Nelson. Tim Navarette was calling it on radio. But it's like, yeah, I wonder how far that one's going. Not is it gone, it's how far is it gone. Well, the answer was 450 feet. The answer was it left the bat at 118.7 miles per hour, which was the hardest hit ball of home run of the year in Major League Baseball. It's the second hardest hit ball of Shohei Ohtani's career. It's the hardest hit ball ever in the history of the Dodgers in the StatCast era, which goes back to 20. So in 10 years, nobody had hit a baseball that hard yesterday that Ohtani topspinned it into the upper deck.
You know what, Les? What that reminded me of, and I'm sure there are moments, and it's been a short career so far for Ohtani with the Dodgers. Did it not remind you of Ohtani with the Angels? And I'll tell you what I mean by that. He did so many great things with the Angels, and the moment something special happened, it was all over social.
Yeah.
All over social.
You're right.
Last night, it was the moment he hit that home run, every clip that you could think of, the sound of the bat, or the ball hitting the bat right out the gate there. It's everybody is now, okay, you hear that. You're seeing Ohtani just crush the ball. You see Ohtani rounding the bases. You see him go back to the dugout. The sunflower seeds getting thrown at him. You see Outman's face. I kept trying to tell you this. I'm like, you got to watch Outman. Yeah. Outman was like a child at a baseball game saying, what the hell was that? But all of that reminded me of the Angels for a quick second. Because yeah. I thought with the Angels, anytime he did something special was all over. That's the first time that I know he hit his first home run, all that. But yesterday was one of those, did you see what Shohei did?
Yeah, did you see that? Mm-hmm. It was, Outman said afterwards, it looked like a cruise missile. It was absurd. And there's that moment. Doesn't happen a lot because other professional athletes are very hard to impress. Because it's like, yeah, I can mostly do that. But when you get other pros going, was that? And that was the look on Outman's face. Like LeBron does it occasionally. You'll just see guys that
Mahomes
is a great example. Mm-hmm. That just guys that do things that make other pros go, I've never seen anything like that. And it's one thing to watch. You and I watched it. He hits it into the upper deck. It's 118 miles an hour, and it's crazy. But then when you see it with your own eyes in the ballpark, and you see how quickly it's out there. It's not just this long, majestic
pop,
home
ball
run.
Ball is already hitting the seats.
It's like crack of the bat, ball hitting the seat. It's like, what just happened? It's like, you know, a video game, the laser beam, a golf shot or whatever it is. And that's what they're buying. I understand they're going to sell every Dodger cap you can, every Japanese baseball fan in a country that's baseball crazy, that you're going to fill up Dodger Stadium every night. I get it. I get the economic impact of it. But that's kind of what you're buying, right? Are those moments of, did you see that? I got to send that to Al. I got to send that to M. I got to make sure that everybody sees this moment. That's what you're buying with this guy, isn't it? Those moments?
I think what you're buying with him is those moments have to come in the postseason.
That would be better.
I think that's what you're hoping for, and I think that's what Ohtani's buying in the Dodgers. Ohtani is, I want that moment in October, and the Dodgers are saying, we want that moment in October. I think there's, to be honest, I think that's what makes that marriage, it's why he picked the Dodgers. I can't get into the postseason. We can't have success in the postseason. That's their marriage, right? And everything else is going to come with it anyways, like you described, kind of those highlight moments and everything else. But I would imagine that's more what the marriage is that in October. And you're just going to – everything else that comes before that is just
– That's the winning part of the baseball part of it, which obviously is incredibly important. But you want those moments where it's just you have to come and see this guy because that might happen at any given point. And let me ask you guys this, and Jorge – at any point this season, have you felt like Ohtani was firing on all cylinders?
It just feels like it's a couple steps forward and like one step not totally there.
Yeah, but good, but not great, right?
Not the peak Ohtani.
Not peak Ohtani. Jorge, you agree with that?
No, even my dad's like, I don't see the hype with this guy. I was like, oh, wait, he's going to get going today.
Al, fair?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready? Shohei Ohtani does not lead the National League. He leads the major leagues, all of them, all 30 teams, in batting average, hits, doubles, and total bases. And nobody's like, oh, dude, he's killing it. Batting average, hits, doubles, total bases. And no one's saying he's firing.
Why is that? Because I'm trying to think here. Is it because he's not having – last night was, hey, he just hit this colossal home run. Is it because – his batting average with runners in scoring position hasn't been, hey, Ohtani, he's had some moments this year where the game was on the line and he was at the plate and he flied out or whatever the case is, right? Is it because of that? Is that you're just, he's created this expectation of, I'm the greatest.
That's it right there.
I'm potentially the greatest to ever do it. And I think there was also stuff that was happening when he was with the Angels. There's a doubleheader, and he has 10 strikeouts in game one, and then he has 2 home runs in game two.
Yeah.
Like, they're literally video games. Is it because of that that we're not making as big of a deal? What you just read off is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Not just the National League, both leagues.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Both leagues. And you said it. It's expectation that what's missing in there? Missing. Home runs and RBI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, why isn't he leading the league in home runs? Why? He only has, I think it's 6 now. He only has 6 home runs. What's wrong with him? Nothing. Nothing. That's the whole point of this guy, is that...
Which is actually good news for Dodger fans.
It's very good news. Yeah. Because it's not everything, it's like, well, why isn't he doing that? Because nobody does that. That's why. But the expectation is you're supposed to lead the league in everything.
Now, I will tell you, if he follows up that home run last night with a three-run homer today,
yeah.
Now it's like, okay, hey, there's two of them right there. And there were a couple guys on base. I think once that starts happening too, then the conversation of like, because I think Jorge's, his example of his dad saying, "Hey, what's all the hype?" It's
but
as
think
if
about that.
But it's as if they need to not just be. He can't just have a home run. It has to be a home run late in the game, down a run, and it's a two-run. It's a two-run shot. Like it. It almost feels like they want more of a storyline to everything that he does.
The home run he hit last night was in the top of the ninth inning. It took a 3-1 game to a 4-1 game. Okay, so it didn't feel super important.
Until Evan Phillips came out.
Dude, what the?
I thought I was going to give it up.
Why? Just because he walked three guys and gave up a hit in one inning? Is that why you thought
How do you not give up a run with...
If you walk every hitter you face and give up a hit, and that is that why you thought he was going to blow it?
Even in the two outs,
the only reason they didn't lose or at least blow the lead is because the Nationals forgot how to run the bases. I'll just stop right here. Mm-hmm. The coach is basically doing the helicopter, him in. I'll just stop. I'm good. And the Dodgers are like, what the hell's he doing? Yeah, right here, you're out. Gallo, who's standing at second base like a little leaguer, like, I'll just stand here and watch what happens next. Move up!
I was going to say, you want to go get to third?
Move up!
No interest in getting third?
You understand that that's closer than over there, and that they're focused on this guy. They're going to let you walk. He could have crawled on his hands and knees over there. Like, what the hell are they doing?
It's the Nationals. They're not in a rush to get anywhere.
I understand that. If I were watching Dana Hills play baseball, I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs that they did that. It was bananas. They should probably find some guys that can pitch in the sixth inning and beyond. Their offense is going to be a 10 out of 10. I truly believe that. They're starting pitching. They'll figure it out. They're going to get healthier. They're going to get better. Their defense kind of is what it is, right? It's not very good.
Probably not going to improve.
Right?
Yep, it is what it is.
Their bullpen stinks, Al. And it's the one part of their team that I look at and say, yeah, they got that needs to be improved sooner than later. Kelly has not looked good. I think he'll be all right. Phillips looked terrible. Gratterall hasn't pitched. Trinan hasn't pitched. Brazier, who was really good for him last year, is dreadful.
Vezia and I have the same ERA.
Vezia and Greg Bergman are forever linked in history now.
I know they are.
Because he came in here and he's like, here comes your boy, next pitch gone.
They lost that game by one.
Of course they lost that game by one. The Rams finally have a pick. They 8 years here in L.A., we're finally picking in the first round. I think I know what they're going to do. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Rotolo Chevrolet. I think that's where Oral was going the other day when we talked to him. So remember when Oral called in and said that I was a friend of his? Remember when that happened? I think he was on his way to Rotolo Chevrolet. Because he knows, like I know, that that's where all the customer service is. That's where all the Chevy Silverados are. That's where all the Chevy cars and trucks that you've been thinking about are waiting for you. The selection, forget it. The pricing, forget it. But the customer service, like nothing you've ever seen before. That's how you win Dealer of the Year, year after year after year after year, to the tune of 13 years in a row. That's what Mike Capozzo does. That's what he makes sure that his entire staff at Rotolo Chevrolet understands to take care of you. Courteous, transparent, upfront, so you come back time and time again and tell your friends over and over again. So if you've been looking, going out to Rotolo Chevrolet. Right off the 210 freeway, Sierra Avenue exit, you can't miss it. That's where all the Silverados are. And if you're thinking Fontana might just be a little bit far for you, go online, rotolochevy.com. R-O-T-O-L-O, rotolochevy.com. And tell them that Travis sent you.
But I love listening to you guys in the morning. So I just wanted to call in, give you somebody so somebody can hate on you a
Excellent.
Little bit for me calling and we're friends.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Closing time, you begging me to stay till the sun rolls. Strange world.
You know what this sounded like at the very beginning? And I don't know if it's just because it's I'm seeing the commercial, I'm seeing the bus billboards and everything else. The Fall Guy theme song that the old Lee Majors, the TV show. And Emma, I think you said that the movie looks terrible. Is that what you said?
I said the movie looks awesome.
Oh, somebody said that they saw it and they're like, maybe not the maybe the trailer. I thought you, was it not you? And you
no,
liked it? Okay.
I thought it looked great.
Yeah, somebody was down on the Fall Guy. We need a.
It wasn't me. I'm all here for a movie that's not based on IP that we all know about.
Yeah, well.
And we know about, okay. You saying to me that it's based on the Fall Guy, I had no idea there was a Fall Guy. So I think it's not like, it's not Marvel. This is the.
It's not Marvel.
This is the slot that's usually for Marvel and slash superhero movies.
Yeah.
I'm excited for a fresher action movie.
Yeah, it's certainly not Marvel, but any Lee Majors vehicle of the early 1980s I was there for. We went straight from the $6 million.
About 50 years old.
Well, I am 52. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about 1980.
Lee Majors was the $6 million. He was in Bonanza or the Big Valley, one or the other, I forget. Mm-hmm. $6 million man, Fall Guy, and then that was it. He was super famous for a long time.
That wrapped up his career.
he was great. You went to a movie last night, right?
Yeah. I went to see the movie Civil War again. My friends wanted to go. It's kind of like it was a book clubby kind of thing. So like she has a group of friends that goes and see a movie on Tuesday nights, and then afterwards get dinner and we talk about the movie, things that we liked about it, whatever. So it's kind of like a book club, but for movies, which I thought would be cool.
You saw Civil War?
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you like it?
I saw it on Friday. I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
I will not be going twice.
That's your same review of Dune Part 2 was just okay.
I saw it.
Dune Part 2, I liked more than Civil War.
I think Civil War is a little harder to watch than Dune.
No, it is.
Because of the content?
Yeah. Yeah, I think my interpretation of the movie coming in was different. I did not. Let's just put it this way. It's an interesting movie just based off of where we are today in our society, right? I didn't know it was completely from a journalistic photographer point of view.
It follows photojournalists through this.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's kind of, they're the lead. It was quote unquote a love letter to journalism. Whether or not it executes on that plan is up to debate.
There are times where that world, because that world does exist for those photographic journalists, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like you almost don't even want to know, which is not good, but that's just insane that covering a war or covering whatever else is going on. That happening today.
Yeah.
This is what journalists are doing.
But it also involves a lot of ego, and they're not all perfect people, and that's kind of what the movie talks about as well. Mm-hmm. So you got to
watch it with somebody.
Regardless of the content of the movie. So I go to my seat, I sit down, movie's about to start, trailers have already started, and this is a 6:30 showing at an AMC. And just for clarification, this is an R-rated movie, and AMC's policy in regards to R-rated movies is that children under 6 years old are not allowed in R-rated movies after 6 p.m. in any theater. Okay, so that is a rule for R-rated movies. So I end the trailers coming in, a family, parents, and a couple of their friends, and a less than 18-month-old child.
A baby.
Walk in. Baby. In a stroller. Sit
to
down.
Civil War.
With a baby.
At 6:30.
6:30. This movie.
Has Gael seen it yet, Jorge? Hey,
twice.
This is not only the time of day that you are seeing this movie. This is 6:30 p.m. The movie will end at 9 p.m. So this is a late movie to take a child to, regardless of the content of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Content of the movie is incredibly graphic, loud.
One of the more abrasive, graphic movies I've seen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. There are people that are.
Yeah.
It's very bloody. Okay, so it's not necessarily something I would want to take my 12-month-old to see. Mm-hmm. Third, it is an R-rated movie. You're not allowed to take kids under 6 years old to R-rated movies by the letter of the AMC law.
The bylaws of
and
the theater people.
It's distracting. Whether or not you have this baby is not going to be silent for the entirety of a movie while everyone is expected to be silent.
Did you
for the
hold the baby at all? Did they pass it around the theater?
No, like, I didn't hold the baby.
You pace a little bit up and down so, the theater.
Was the baby male or female?
I could not.
You couldn't tell.
Tell.
Okay, I was just wondering if he or she liked it.
Where was the AMC? Where is
AMC? Burbank. And so the movie too, it plays a lot with sound. So it has really, really loud portions. It has really, really quiet portions.
And out of nowhere,
yes,
it can be really quiet, and then it's like pop.
And
the
really
war started.
Visceral gun sounds. So when it's really quiet, I hear goo goo gaga, or I hear like just crying, and I'm just like, are you
all right.
kidding me?
Okay. Okay. Wait. Before you go,
young parents.
Before you go,
they were older than me.
I'm going to.
They were probably your age, Jorge.
Yeah, young parents.
This is not. this is not okay, and this should not happen. I'm gonna sympathize with these parents for a quick second. Again, it's not okay, and you should not do this.
It's a distraction.
They were probably like, "Can we please just get? Can we just see a movie, please? Is there any possible way? Is there any possible way that we can see this movie and just, for the love of God, God bless our child, but we just want to see this damn movie. Can we have a second? Babysitter maybe canceled last second, whatever the situation was. With all that in mind, you cannot take a baby to a movie and then add everything else after that. I'm telling you, that movie is as gruesome as a movie as you're going to watch. It's based on a war.
Maybe Winnie the Pooh was sold out. Maybe they had no choices.
And, okay, one more thing. While he was crying, they didn't leave the theater. They let the baby cry on the side of the theater.
Of all the things that you've presented, that's the one that I don't have a good defense for. Here's the deal. Jorge, you are young parents with a baby, okay? Al's 99% right? Look, I get it. I shouldn't take my baby to this movie.
I'm going to hallucinate. I just want to get out of the house.
I got to get the hell out of the house.
Go get dinner.
I understand. I got to get out of here. I got to go do something else. And to your point, I'm new in town. I don't have any friends or family. The sitter just canceled. I'm going to go crazy don't get out of here. Yeah. I'm not saying it's the first choice, Em. I understand, but as a parent of young kids, I'm not taking my kid to Civil War. That doesn't seem like the right choice. But Jorge, sometimes you just got to get out of the damn house.
By the way, there's not many like child good movies right now. There isn't a Despicable Me, so I understand. There's not a child friendly viewing this.
Yeah, it wasn't between Civil War and Toy Story 4.
But yeah, Jorge, what are you going to say? Sorry,
between the two of those.
No. You went to Burbank. You know the IMAX in there and those menu boards.
I didn't go to the IMAX, but yeah.
Oh, okay, well, your boy installed those in there.
I did. I remember you told me that before.
Yep.
Burbank 16, the one with the Batman right outside of it?
Yep, that one. Yeah.
I think we did an event at the Buffalo Wild Wings there with Key one day.
Right
I have a lot of empathy for parents that have young children that are going crazy. But again, the content of the movie, the time of the... Go see it at 4 p.m.
They're at work. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I intellectually,
she's
you're 100%
wrong.
Right, but until you've been in the... I'm going to lose my damn mind if I don't get out of the house mode. Your decision-making apparatus is altered to a point. I don't care that my kid's going to see Civil War. He'll be fine.
They were raising the baby, and the baby was facing us, raising the baby, playing with the baby. It was a huge distraction.
I'm passing the baby around.
No, man. At that point, I tell Brenda, you know what? Let me go watch the movie. You watch it tomorrow or the next day, but you can't bring it.
You can't.
It's also expensive to see that movie. It's $25 for a ticket. But I also, this is why I never stray for the Alamo. The Alamo is
the Alamo's
just
Gestapo
adults.
Would have stopped him at the door.
Honestly,
no baby.
Yes. Yeah. They have workers up and down the aisle. You can put up a little card saying this person's being too loud next to me if they're texting one time. So this is just all to say I really love the Alamo.
let those parents live. You're going to make
it's funny.
You're going to make a lot of really bad decisions as a parent. It's inevitable. You're going
to not the worst thing.
You're going to blow a lot of them. This won't make the top 10,000 bad decisions you make as a parent.
I didn't say anything. I know from the point, like, I'm not going to go and do anything. I'm
talking to my head. I would, no question about it, be sitting there saying, are you kidding me?
Yes, you're not wrong to say this. You can't make this up. You guys are 100% wrong. Check in with me when your kid's nine months old, and they're screaming bloody murder, and you haven't seen, we haven't done one adult thing in a year.
Will Uncle Travis babysit then?
Hell no.
Oh, that's Brenda, no. Cancel the year.
I don't want your baby. I'll take your three-year-old. That's okay. Fine.
Well, three-year-old could see
whatever it is. Right?
Yeah, three, you can hang out.
We'll go get a beer.
Snacks.
He'd love Jesse Plemons in the movie. It would be his favorite character.
I do like his red glasses along the way. We'll get to the Rams draft. The Lions just re-signed Penei Sewell. 4 years, $112 million, which actually has a lot of connectivity to the Rams and has a lot of connectivity to where the Rams might go in the draft. That's all coming up. But first, Factor Cap. Coming up next is Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, guys. I expect both a lot of hate and both a lot of people agreeing with me because it's a divisive subject.
I think everybody's right.
Yeah.
I think everybody's right.
We just all have to agree that we just go to the Alamo if you want to avoid children.
You just fall on the, hey, I've done this before. I've done it with three kids. And there are moments where I don't care what the circumstance is. I'm leaving the damn house. I know it's not the best idea. I know it's not convenient for others.
Emily's idea is a better one. Go to Chili's. Go to the Yard House. Go to someplace loud and noisy, and it's not a big deal, and you can make as much noise as you want, and it's not, you know, a movie about the destruction of democracy. I understand what you're going for. Sometimes you don't give a damn.
And again, I'm assuming too. It's like sometimes you're just not also thinking straight all the time. Not that they weren't. Like I don't want to say. I don't know.
This is what I told him, and I think this could very well have happened. Maybe they had a babysitter planned.
Could be.
And then last second, the babysitter is like, "I'm out," and they're like, "You know what? Screw it. We're enough of this BS. We're going to the damn movie," and that's that.
They were also not by themselves. It wasn't just the two parents and the baby. Is that they had a bunch of friends there. I was like.
Quite frankly, the friends are the true maniacs in this scenario.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like, look, yeah, we want to see Civil War? Yeah, great. That sounds fun. Hey, I'm bringing the kid. You know what? Let's find another day.
Or I'll babysit the kid. You guys do it this time. Yeah, whatever.
There's a lot going on.
Letting it go past me. Had a good time with my friends.
See my text?
Hopefully I can see it again. All right, so the Mets announced that they were going to have a $1 hot dog night, not a totally unusual thing for ballparks to do. You know, they usually do it to get some people in the stadium on games that aren't usually a sellout. Mm-hmm. So, but they've had this fan that has been highlighted a couple games. I believe he's a veteran, and so they, you know, were showing veterans, and you see his name, where he served. His name is Seymour Wieners, actually. This guy is an old man, and so he approved that this is his name. So this is, I guess, a real name of his.
Okay.
And so the $1 hot dog night
is not the guy that was dangling Fury that Les Snead mentioned during his press conference yesterday?
DF. It was Seymour Wiener, and so he is the sponsor of the $1 hot dog night. So they're saying, hey, $1 hot dog night, promoted by Seymour Wiener. all right, so not enough people are named Seymour these days. Travis Factor Cap.
Fact. I kind of like when you run into somebody that's got an older name. You know, you get a lot of trendy names. You get a lot of names where they're putting in Y's and Z's. And yeah, a Gertrude, a Dorothy,
a Walter,
a Seymour, a Walter, a Gary. When was the last time you saw a baby named Gary?
Agatha.
Like, right? Like
Barbara.
You meet a Gary who's 32 and has a family.
Yeah.
Like, nobody had a best friend named Gary when they were 7. Like, where do the Garys come from?
All right, Al.
Cap, I think we're good. You know, whatever Seymour's we've had out
there. We've had our Seymour fill.
Yeah, whatever are already out there is good. That's enough. You know, I don't need to see this crazy trend of now
there's... You don't need to see more people?
I don't need to see more.
Come on, Em, you're better than that.
Seymours. I'm good on that.
I don't need to see more babies.
You know, that was going to be, if it wasn't Gael, it was going to be Seymour.
Yeah. Sure it was.
But you would spell it like Seymour.
Came down to those
Seymour,
two.
Yes.
With an accent over the E or something.
Seymour.
That's great.
All right, so this was just highlighted from NBA Central.
Tio!
So you guys watch Squid Game? All of you guys? Some of you guys watch Squid Game?
I've seen a few episodes. I don't know the whole thing, but yes, I'm familiar with the idea of it.
So one of the lead actresses is also a model. She's very pretty. She's I'm not going to spoil what happens in Squid Game if people want to see it, but she's a main actress in the movie in the show Squid Game. And so Devin Booker commented on her Instagram post of her looking very beautiful, said, check your DMs. And she said no with a heart. So sliding into DMs works. Al, fact or cap?
This will be the first time I don't have a fact or a cap because I have not slid into other DMs. So I have no idea. I have literally no idea if sliding into a DM works. I could give you an answer. Mm-hmm. I could tell you fact. It's a guess. I could tell you cap. It's a guess. I am not currently sliding to people's DMs, nor are people sliding into mine. I don't even check Instagram. So to be honest with you, I'm even further from that than you possibly can.
Yeah.
This is truly, I have no idea, and I'd like to hear your answers.
Okay. So Travis, did they slide into typewriters back when you were a kid?
That's messed up. It has to work. Fact. Otherwise, people would stop doing it, right? I'm not saying it works frequently. I'm not saying it works most of the time.
I need a success rate percentage.
Look, there's a whole theory of the 1 in 100. I don't need 100 yeses. I need one. Mm-hmm. And if I got to ask 100 times, if you're not terribly discerning and you want to take the shotgun approach as opposed to the rifle approach, it has to work. I'm not saying that every time somebody slides into a DM that they're getting a date or a hookup or whatever.
I don't think Devin Booker needs to slide into 100 DMs.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But he missed.
It has to work occasionally or else people wouldn't do it.
Yeah, very true. All right, Jorge?
Look, is it only on Instagram? Because I do it more on... I don't slide into people's DMs on Twitter like that. But there's people, like listeners, for instance, like when we did the 49ers thing at the casino.
That'll say, Colorado Park. Jorge, nice to see you. That is not the different version of a slide.
Hey, what time is it going to be at? So I've created, I guess you can say, somewhat, you know, I communicate with some listeners.
Well, that could be also
not necessarily
like
for
a
dating,
personal.
But,
no, that's like a personal conversation,
right? But mm-hmm. with somebody from Twitter, and then when you meet these people, it's like, oh, hey, and they go to different events. Like it's things like that that I've used to kind of communicate with some people that want to come out to our events. Like for instance, Mandy's coming up. There's people like, hey, when our tickets gonna go? They want info and stuff like that, and they live far away from here. But as far as dating, I know somebody who's met people like
I don't doubt
like,
it.
They go
like he girlfriends,
goes,
boyfriends.
Yeah,
or
he goes
just
on dates. He goes on dates with girls, or you know, have girlfriends who've gone on dates with guys that they just met because hey, I like your post. We share that same interest. Hey, let's see what happens if we hang out.
Hey, you're hot.
Let me
no.
Have you either gotten a DM from somebody that you had no connection with at all and said, yeah, I'm kind of interested, and vice versa? Have you ever shot your shot in that regard?
I have shot my shot. And it did work.
Okay.
But I think that in general, I think it relies more on if you have mutuals. So it's not necessarily like, okay, if I, you know, if it's Jorge's friend, for example, and I slid into Jorge's friend's DMs, but he sees that I know Jorge, you're like, oh, hey, how do you know Jorge? And that kind of is how you get started. I think that works better than complete stranger.
Okay, but how is that different from like one of those dating sites?
Well, because you're actually meeting through a friend, I think, or like at least you're having some sort of mutual connection. Because if a dating site like a Hinge or a Tinder or whatever else, you're just profile, swiping based on looks.
And you don't
have any connection.
The dating profile is an inherent, I'm open for business.
That's also true, too.
I'm here to meet somebody.
Always know someone's single.
I'm on this app to meet people. Twitter, you could be there because you want to keep up on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and Instagram, too. You could be freaking engaged in people who don't know. Right. And yeah, because of the way that you have your profile. All right, so the Jokic brothers got in a little kerfuffle after the Nuggets-Lakers game on Monday and are, you know, facing some repercussions, as one might say. But, you know, this is not the first time that we've heard the Jokic brothers being mentioned, and, you know, they are kind of the enforcers behind Nikola Jokic. You've ever had a family member that you had to stop inviting to things? Not because of picking fights. Because of not just not physical only, but picking fights in general. Jorge Petrocat.
Fact. Soccer games on Sundays growing up. 17,
is his
18
name
years
Jorge?
Old. No. This was one of my uncles. He played a little hard, you know, for what the league was. And some guys that are hotheads, you can call them hotheads, you push them, whatever, they come at you a little harder. So my uncle would just chirp until things would get a little heated, and then you see some of the other guys kind of ganging up. So I've had to stop my uncle twice. One of these, this is so stupid, I'm saying this right now. Oh, man, they're going to make fun of me. At one point, I tried to get in a fight, and I took one to the head. Like, somebody threw a punch, and it hit me in the head. And I'm 17 years old, and I'm running away. I'm trying to protect my uncle. Oh, this guy's going to make fun of me for saying this. The first thing I started saying, I'm a minor. You just punched a minor. And I'm just trying to protect my uncle. But I was so stupid and young at the time that I was like, you just punched a minor, you dummy.
I like that.
And I ran away. And
quick
like,
threat
bro.
Right there.
But my uncle's like, what are you doing? He's like, you don't have this handled. I'm like, no, you didn't. You had four guys on you. And then we were new at the team. Like, nobody from the team knew us.
Oh, jeez.
So it was just me and my uncle with a bunch of guys that, I don't know.
Welcome to the team, guys.
It was weird.
Trev?
Not physical like trouble where the person that shows up is going to get into a fight. Not Jokic or Briona's family member situations. Not like that. But yeah, there's people that you stop inviting just because you don't like them. I don't want them there because that guy sucks. I don't want that guy to come to Thanksgiving because I don't appreciate your company. I don't like
your presence.
I don't. Yes. I find you off-putting as a human being. Like, so, yeah, there, we have that in my family where I don't like that guy.
And was the off-putting as a human being because they were picking fights or just because of their aura?
Their aura, their essence as a human being, their place on this planet is gross. And just because they are related through biology to me does not mean that I have to enjoy their company. So I choose to exclude them from things.
Retweet. Al?
cap on a family member because they're an issue. Like, no, I feel pretty good. Anybody that I'm going to hang out with family member-wise, they're not going to cause a problem. Now, do I have a friend that I always have hesitation? Yeah, if he gets alcohol in him, there's a problem there. So I think it just kind of depends on who the person is. Family member, no. Friend, yes. Fact on that.
All right, you guys want one more?
Yeah, sure. Hit me one more.
All right, so this is kind of being floating around my Twitter. I don't even know why, but like some clips from like Jurassic World are like circulating on my Twitter. And one of them is when Jimmy Buffett had a cameo in Jurassic World, which is the reboots of the Jurassic series. And it's the Jurassic animals are like going on to the people that are like in the... I don't know.
Is this one of the Chris Pratt movies?
Yeah, it's a Chris Pratt movie. But you know when it's basically Universal City Walk of this Jurassic World, where you can get drinks and stuff. So Jimmy Buffett's in it, and the Triceratops is like attacking, and he picks up his margaritas and runs away. It's a perfect Jimmy Buffett cameo. Rest in peace, because he's still himself. Would do what he would actually do probably in that situation. So, got me thinking. You again. This is pretty random for Jimmy to be in that movie. So you would want to be a cameo in a random movie. Like, not something that, like, what would make sense for us is if we're in a sports movie or whatever. So you want to be a cameo in a completely, like, random movie, like a law drama or something like that. So, Travis Fettercap.
Fact. I would like to be in a movie, period. the genre.
You were mentioned in a movie.
I've been mentioned in a movie. My name was spoken in a movie, but I have never appeared in a movie. I think that would be amazing. And again, you know, like you mentioned, a sports thing would be the thing that would make most sense, but drama, horror, romance, whatever it is, if I'm just in it, and even if I'm just sitting there drinking a beer at the bar, I think that would be amazing. A buddy of mine, Jay Stu, you know Jay, yep. Like he's a radio guy and been working in radio, but he gets these random roles in TV shows and movies and pops up in them occasionally, and it's awesome.
Yeah, one of my roommates is a background actress. And so I see her occasionally and stuff, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Al?
Fact, and I actually like the part of the more random it is just for the story. Like if I am randomly in a romantic movie or like a murder thriller, like
you're in the background of like Michael Clayton.
Why is Alan in this movie? It's like that's even better to tell the story. I actually would prefer not to be in a sports movie if you're going to be a cameo and just be in the background. I go fact on that.
Jorge?
Fact. Have you guys seen that Fast and Furious movie? The first one.
No.
I was going to say, you narrowed
the first
it down.
One. The first one.
Are you?
Well, the director makes a cameo as the pizza delivery guy who gets blocked by the street racers. And he
A lot of directors do that. Yeah. Like Hitchcock does Tarantino
ever since
does.
I watched that, I was like, man, I wish I could be some type of delivery guy any movie, a delivery guy. Because you get that screen on your own.
Hitchcock put himself in all his movies, right? Like I think, or the vast majority
of
them.
So does Tarantino.
Yeah.
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 Peele does, I think, sometimes.
It's your movie. Do you.
And it's also like one of those Easter eggs for people that are watching. You're like, oh, I see Hitchcock.
Todd Phillips, I think, does that too with his movies.
Yeah.
I'll bring you tacos.
Sold. The Rams have the 19th pick. I don't think they're going to pick 19. I think it's going to be better than that. That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I liked it. Emily started a parenting war on Twitter. Good job, Em.
Me, as a parent of no children, I know exactly everything.
Look, if you think I'm going to...
She's like, you listen here, parents.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm speaking from a position of inexperience.
One of my favorite things is to opine aggressively on things I know nothing about. I love it. It's like one of my passion projects. Let me tell you about blank. Have you ever done that? Of course not.
I mean, it's like talking to dog owners, like, don't bring your dogs to these places. I mean...
Yes, exactly.
There are some places I do not expect to see children and babies, and a 6:30 p.m. showing of Civil War with one of them.
The Rams pick 19th. They've got the 19th pick in the draft. They haven't had a first-round pick since Jared Goff. That's 2016. They haven't had a first-round pick since 2016. They've traded them for a variety of players. The Jalen Ramsey cost a couple of first-round picks. Matthew Stafford cost a couple of first-round picks. Jared Goff cost a couple of first-round picks. So they've just basically been second round and beyond. They finally get one. I don't think they're going to pick at 19. So there are three ways to do this, right? You can just wait till they call your name at 19, pick a player. Okay, whatever. You can do the thing that a lot of people think is the smart thing to do, especially in this draft there's not a ton of, you know, future Hall of Famers or all pros or whatever. Hey, look, that guy that you could pick at 19 is basically as good as the guy you could pick at 45. So why not move back and get picks 45, 52, and 61, or whatever it is. Take more bites at the apple. Then the last thing, and the thing that I think is the most fun, I don't know if it's the smartest, but it's probably the most fun from a football fan's perspective, move up. Hey, look, that guy right there, I got to have him. What's it going to cost? It's what they did to get Jared Goff. They're in the middle of the pack, and they moved up to number one to pick the quarterback. They don't need a quarterback, but what they do need is a left tackle. What they do need is tight end. What you could make an argument you need is another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. All offensive players, although we know the Rams love offense, I think they're going to do it. And for no other reason, we talk a lot about this on my podcast, and this isn't a plug for Locked On Rams, which is free and available wherever you find your podcast. Never behind a payroll. There's a YouTube component. Your team every day. It's not that. But we've been talking a lot about this. Double down. Do the thing you do, but do it even better. The Rams are offensively oriented. Sean McVay is offensively oriented. The Rams have the right quarterback. They have a pretty good O-line. They got a problem at left tackle, potentially. You got wide receivers. You've got Kyren Williams in the backfield. Why not go get that left tackle that could be there for a decade? Why not go take a shot at Brock Bowers, who could be, and I'm not comparing him to Travis Kelce, but could be a weapon at that position like Travis Kelce? Why not move up and take a big swing?
Here's the only reason why you would do it. You've identified a person, right? That you believe if we get that guy, I don't care what we do with more picks later on. That's a guy that we have to have. But, Trav, if you got hesitation, or if you think you're just doing it just to do it, or you think it's high risk, if there's I'm just kind of trying to think here. Let's use Bowers as a good example.
Yeah.
Right? That's the guy.
Yep.
Okay. Then I don't think anybody could really walk away. And maybe this is just you have faith in that Rams front office and you have faith in Sean McVay. If they believe in it, then you give them the benefit of the doubt.
And tight end is an area of need.
And if they
it
don't,
sure is.
And if they don't do it, then I also kind of, it's okay. Like, I understand where they're coming from based off of that. But I think it ultimately comes down to you really believe in that player, and that's why you did it.
Okay, so with that in mind, tight end is the second worst position of thinking, okay, we got the right guy.
Really?
So according to Hembo, who produces at ESPN, put together a list
really good, by the
on
way.
Who hits and who doesn't.
He's basically the stat whiz of
yes.
ESPN.
And the way you define a success is if that player that is drafted in the first round gets a second contract with that same team. Mm-hmm. Okay? The only position that hits less than tight end is wide receiver. A wide receiver is about a 1 in 4 shot, 27%.
Okay, with that too, you said it's judgment on if the team gets a second deal with uh-huh. that same. So maybe if a wide receiver is very good, though, they go to a different team.
Okay, but if he's really good, you're going to want to keep
him.
Okay, I just was putting that out there. Anyway, continue on.
Tight end hits 1 out of 3. That means he misses 2 out of 3. The position that hits, the three top positions, center, offensive tackle, and guard, the three offensive line positions. They hit at a 92% rate, centers. The tackles hit at a 59% rate,
and guard
50-50, which, by the way, those are the three best. Mm-hmm. Why not go get the tackle? I know it's okay. not super exciting.
No,
I know it's
okay.
not super
but
sexy.
But that's all right.
Go
and
get
if,
that guy.
And if that's a very – that's something that you feel like, hey, we are identifying that position, and we have identified an offensive tackle in the draft – and you have a little bit of support. This isn't a, we like a wide receiver. Okay, yeah, that's 1 in 4. Or you, like you said, a tight end 1 in 3. I don't see why that would be a bad pick at all.
Let me just push back just a tiny bit in just specifically with the Rams. Okay, so the top pick in last year's, their top pick last year's draft was Steve Avila, right?
Yep.
All right, so the year before that?
Logan Bruss.
All right, so 50-50 shot
yep.
that they had of one was a complete and total bust.
Both guards.
One fantastic.
yeah.
They also got Kevin Dotson from the Steelers, disregarded from the Steelers, and turned into one of the best. He's a guard, right?
He is.
One of the best guards in the league
yep.
last year. So they are hitting 1 out of 3 in terms of their acquisitions at this level.
Well, no, it would be 2 out of 3.
Two out of three. So they're
so
66%. But in terms of their first.
The next one's going to be bad.
their first pick, though, I'm just. The Logan Bruss doesn't sit well with me. I know Joe Alt is higher rated than Logan Bruss was.
Significantly so.
Yes.
Like Logan Bruss was a second round pick and
yes.
may have been a reach at that point.
Right.
That Joe Alt is one of the, it could be the next Joe Thomas. It could be the next Andrew Whitworth. It could be the next guy that you don't even have to think about left tackle for 10 years.
Right. We hope.
Sure.
But
the whole point of
that's
this
going to be the risk anyways.
You just don't know.
And if you identify somebody that you like and it's that front office and that coach and you got to move up to go get him, moving up because you felt like we found him. That's the person we want. Let's do whatever we can to negotiate for that. I'm okay with that.
But to go up to get Joe Alt, you have to give up a lot. You have to move up a ton. He's going to go like 5 or 6.
He's going to go inside the top 10 for sure, like, and maybe inside the top 7 or 8, or maybe the top 5. You're right. It's expensive. You know who else they went and got that was really expensive?
Who?
Jalen Ramsey was really expensive. That worked out pretty well. Matthew Stafford was really expensive. That worked out pretty well. I know it's weird to say it because they ended up flipping him and paying a lot to get him out. Jared Goff worked out really well. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff took him to the Super Bowl.
Better than what they had.
Sure. Yeah. A lot better than what they had. And it worked
out. Took them to the Super Bowl. You could stop right there.
They spent money
to the Super Bowl.
Or capital.
And is still having success.
To go get Von Miller. Like, mm-hmm. They take big swings. What they typically don't do is stand pat, or even what they typically don't do, and they did it a little bit last year, so I'm arguing against myself a little bit here, is collect a whole bunch and move back.
Right.
That worked for them last year. They picked 14 guys. All 14 guys made the team. That's bananas. But that never happens.
The huge swings you're talking about, besides Jared Goff, are all having to do with proven players.
Yep.
Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller, Matthew Stafford, all proven players they know could play at the NFL level.
Yep.
Not saying that Joe Alt can't do that.
Yep.
It is more risky.
It's more risky, but the offensive linemen, according to this thing, are the least risky of the bunch.
Who is risky is Roma Dunze.
Right?
Live once. Wide receivers, worst. Tight ends, second worst. Safeties, third worst. Running backs, cornerbacks, defensive tackles, all kind of in the same high 30s, low 40s. The best version of this is take centers off the board. Apparently, they're hitting at 92%, which means it's easy to find a good center. Or at least, if you think he's good, he's probably going to be good.
Sure.
Everything else is virtually 50-50 or worse, and a lot worse.
I think one thing that's overlooked a little bit with the rise of the Lions is not because they got Jared Goff. They did get Jared Goff. They got weapons in their receivers and Amon-Ra St. Brown through the draft. They've gotten the tight end. Great. But the reason why they're as good as they are is because their offensive line is incredible, including Penei Sewell, who just signed a four-year, $112 million deal, the largest ever given to offensive linemen. They have proven that you can get these great specialties in those receiving, but you have to have a solid line so that your quarterback can do things.
So Peter Schrager from Fox Sports said that he can just about guarantee that if the Rams do stay at 19, they're going to pick an offensive player. Sean McVay at least was pretending to be a little put out by that, saying, quote, it's not an accurate assumption. Here's what is an accurate assumption. Peter Schrager and Sean McVay are close. Mm. Okay? They're close. And if he's saying,
yeah,
if
he's
they stay
laughing at the question.
If he says it at 19, they're going to go off. Which, by the way, I get it. Aaron Donald is in retirement. And the defense is a big, fat question mark. I get it.
To double down and put 30 points up a game and say, all right, if we're going to win, we're going to try to play to our strength.
Remember after they won the World Series, the Super Bowl, when Les Snead came on with us and he said to you and me, he's like, look, our window is Aaron Donald. As long as Aaron Donald is here, our window's open. Well, Aaron Donald's not here anymore. The window, Stafford, right? Stafford
yeah,
is the current
is.
Window.
Yeah, now it is.
So let's give Stafford everything he needs. If Stafford needs another wide receiver, if he needs a tight end, if he needs a left tackle to make that offense even better,
accommodate.
Why not double down on the thing you're really good at?
That window is tight. That window is 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And I think that I haven't really thought about it that way in terms of like the window shifting. I've been thinking that the window is Sean McVay, but like also Sean McVay's window is
forever.
Could be decades long at this point in time. So you have time to move with that. But I'd like the Matthew Stafford point.
If Stafford is, let's just say Stafford wakes up tomorrow morning and says, you know what, I don't want to play football anymore. You're dead in the water.
You got to reset everything.
You're dead in the water.
Here's what's funny. Even if Stafford's your window, I had no idea. Taking Aaron Donald out of the mix, if next year they go 8-9, are you shocked?
I'd be surprised at 8-9. I'd also be surprised.
Two game difference.
I'd also be surprised at 11-6, or is that 17? Yeah, 11-6.
I just don't know. Like losing Aaron Donald, such a key piece. What that does to all your other defensive players? How much now you can focus on other guys?
It's the number one thing. Yeah. It's the number one thing as far as questions go. I don't know if I draft just. Hey, Aaron Donald's gone. We need a defensive tackle. I wouldn't do that. But when they start camp and they start playing games, it's let's see what this looks like. That's the number one question. Here's the number two question. Is the series over with the Lakers and the Nuggets, or can they find a way somehow, some way to kick that door open tomorrow and make us go, wait, that's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.